Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, always the so's. We live in a world full of contrasts. And naturally, our language that we speak day in and day out reflects this. Black and white. Up and down, east and west. Apples and oranges, hot and cold. These are just some of the expressions we use all the time to express the differences and contrasts in our lives. Well, it is the same idea of contrast that I find so interesting with the language of our gospel lesson this morning. Contrast in the Beatitudes. You might say, Pastor, I don't think you're on the same page with us here as we read the Beatitudes. There doesn't seem to be any contrasting statements in the Beatitudes. But I'm here to share with you this morning how wrong you would be. But before we go any farther, we need to start first by explaining what these Beatitudes are and what they're not. Contrary to popular opinion, these are not rules or guidelines that you and I need to follow in order to attain the blessings of God. Now, I say that because so often that's exactly how they are treated when we hear of them spoken on radio religious programs or television religious programs, maybe even in other church bodies. I might think, or they would think, if I want the kingdom of heaven, I need to become poor in spirit, they say. I need to be persecuted. If I want comfort, I need to mourn. And if I want mercy, I need to be merciful. Well, here's the problem with such mentality. Does it not put the focus on you and I to do our part first? And after we've done our part, then God will bless us, so they say. I can't tell you how often I've seen people struggle in their faith because they are working so hard to keep these Beatitudes, and they're still attaining no blessings in their lives. They say, Pastor, I do, and I do, and I do. And I still get hammered. The more I try to do, the more troubles, not blessings, I receive. Well, this is something that may rattle your cage a bit. And I'm prayerfully hoping you already know this. The Beatitudes aren't about you. Well, at least not primarily about you. Now, that may be hard to swallow for some of us because, let's face it, we're a selfish bunch. We seem to think that life is all about us. If we're not happy, by golly, nobody else is going to be happy. Well, these Beatitudes, first and foremost, are about Jesus. These Beatitudes, these are statements of blessedness. They are not prescriptions for you and I, but merely descriptions of our Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus has the perfect faith in his Father. Jesus is pure in heart. He's totally poor in spirit, meaning that he brings nothing to the table except his faith and trust in his Father alone. Now, Jesus does mourn. He mourns for sinners in their sin. And Almighty God is meek and lowly. He doesn't force anyone to believe. He doesn't bully you and I into being faithful. He doesn't strike us down the very minute that we mess up. He is patient and merciful and long-suffering. And he is the true peacemaker. And he is persecuted and he is reviled for doing it. Now, it's not my intent to throw some intellectual theological term, but I have one in this message this morning. I want you to contrast these what we call Christological realities, Christ-centered realities, with your realities. And notice how I worded this. I didn't ask you to take a look around and to determine how everyone else is falling short of these Christ-centered descriptions. I want you to take a look in a mirror and contrast yourself with what are called Christological realities. If we're honest, faithfully, respectfully, or repentedly honest, we know the truth. Because when we look at ourselves in a mirror, it's not pretty. For perfect faith, poor in spirit, trusting in God above all things, is that truly me? No, I confess. Mourning and grieving over our sin, my sin, the sin I commit against God and against my neighbor. Well, again, notice how I worded this. We're very good at mourning and grieving and worrying over the sins that somebody else commits. However, when it comes to our own sin, for you and I, we rarely mourn and grieve unless we get caught. And what do? We justify. We justify our sins. We defend them, calling it something other than sin or declaring that it's okay in this particular instance. But we rarely mourn and express grief over the fact that you and I have committed sin. Sin that caused Christ Jesus to give up heaven and to die on the cross. Yes, that should grieve us. Jesus died because you and I and our sins, and yet all too often, you and I are too busy defending and justifying ourselves to let that sink, that reality to sink in and take effect, and as a result, bear abundant fruit. Meek and lowly, patient and long-suffering, a persecuted peacemaker? Is that you and I? Well, let me tell you what a true meekness and lowliness is all about. True meekness and lowliness takes up the cross and journeys on. True meekness and lowliness gets reviled and persecuted and spit at and beaten and cursed because of righteousness. Justifying faith and takes it. Meek and lowly stands like a lamb silent before the shearers. So how about us, you and I? Meek and lowly? Or are we resounding gongs and clanging cymbals? And dear friends in Christ, don't be fooled into thinking that you're going to make the beatitude cut by playing the persecution card. I ask the question, why are you feeling persecuted? Is it because of matters pertaining to faith and righteousness and justification? Or is it merely that you feel that you personally, by your own self, being persecuted? And here again, meekness and lowliness comes into play. There are times when we are called to stand and fight, but what are we to stand and fight and to defend? Simple, the faith, the purity of the doctrine of salvation through faith alone in God's grace alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. The purity of this is my body, this is my blood, this is my baptism, all for the forgiveness of your sin. So, dear friend, this is what we stand for, and this is what we fight and defend. This is what we vow on our confirmation days. This is what I vowed at my ordination. Do you recall? We vow that we would rather suffer death than allow false doctrine to be taught and spread amongst our midst within our churches. And sadly, this is where things take a very terrible twist. We become meek and lowly and impotent when it comes to defending orthodox doctrine and practice. We just shy away from standing up. But we'll stand and we will fight and we will war over such very important things in the church as to what kind of new light fixtures are we going to have in the sanctuary? Or the new bylaws? Or what plants will be allowed in the chancel? Or what kind of coffee cups are appropriate? Don't we say, we'll get our way or there'll be hell to pay? And then we wonder why we're so persecuted. Did you ever think, perhaps it's not the devil that's persecuting us and our own self-righteous war? Perhaps it's really God fighting against the sinful, non-theological things that we seem to want to defend so ardently. Perhaps that persecuted feeling that you and I are experiencing is the just and loving hand of God who's trying to pull us back from this cliff that we're so blindly working our way towards. Dear friends in Christ, this is the realities of the Beatitudes. We cannot do them in order to attain God's blessings. Like I said earlier, a good, honest look in the mirror reveals that we've all sinned and failed miserably as it comes to getting blessings from God. But that's just it. We don't earn the blessings of God. We don't earn blessedness. We can't do it. It's not a goal to be achieved. It's a condition that you and I are found in. We're found to be blessed. Blessedness is a perspective thing. In faith, we truly are poor and lowly and persecuted and reviled and beaten up. And in this earthly world, man looks at us in our faith and calls us, oh, you're a mess, you're cursed, it's a joke. He sees harm, not blessings, in our lives. And yet God the Father looks at us in the midst of our faith, in the midst of all the difficulties and the pain that we have living in this fallen and sinful world, and He looks into our souls and sees blessedness. God finds us and declares us to be blessed. And why does He find us in this state of blessedness? Why does He declare to you and to me that we are blessed? Because of Christ alone. Because you and I cling to Christ alone. Think on it. The very Lutheran doctrine of at the same time saint and sinner comes through loud and clear in this lesson of contrast. We can look, as we did, at these descriptions of Christological blessedness, and we recognize the fact that Jesus Christ, only Christ Jesus, fulfills these descriptions perfectly. And for that, you and I rejoice. We give thanks for these Christ-centered realities because we know the truth that as prescriptions for us, we would be doomed. We couldn't come close to them. We couldn't even come close to them slightly or tiny amount. We fail miserably. And yet, at the same time, in this text, we rejoice because we know the saints of God have always and will always cling to Christ alone, and therefore be found by Him to be in a state of true everlasting blessedness and grace. And this includes the saints of God who've gone on before us as well as ourselves. Don't you know, all too often we think of the saints of God only in the terms of those who have died in the faith and have now gone home to heaven? But my brothers and sisters in Christ, look around. You are surrounded by saints. You are surrounded by souls whom God has found to be in a state of blessedness. And why are they blessed? Because of faith. Faith in Christ alone. Now, does that faith produce good works and good fruits? Absolutely. That's only natural. Scripture says, faith without works is dead. But take note, justified faith naturally produces good and sanctified fruits. And it's not the other way around. Good works do not produce blessedness. In fact, as Scripture tells us, good works that we rely upon and present to God, apart from the cross of Christ, the fruits that do not flow from the basis and boundaries of justification, but rather flow from the depths of our own selfishness, our own sinful nature, Scripture tells us they are to be viewed as nothing more than filthy rags. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, may God bless you and keep you in the one true saving faith, the faith that clings to the cross of Christ alone, the faith that is grounded in justification by God's grace alone because of Christ alone. Fellow saints and sinners, may God bless you and keep you continually grounded in your justification so that He may continually find each of you in the state and condition of saintly blessedness. Blessedness that is known only through faith in Christ Jesus. And may this good news of your justification bring you that peace that surpasses all human understanding. And may that same faith take root in your hearts and bear abundant, faithful fruit in all that you say and do. May your confession of faith correspond to the fruits you bear. May there be no contrasts. May you be not a bane, but that you be a blessing. God's justified and saintly blessings to all those whom the Lord calls you and I to serve. So now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.